today as we come to the table.
Look beyond the outfit. Look beyond the Sunday morning presentation. Look beyond the radio show. Look beyond the TV show. You need to be evaluating, is this truly a person of God or not? And are they leading me the right direction? Because it's what's inward that matters and not what is outward that matters, something that needs to be examined. And by the way, you're not wrongfully judging to do that. You're commanded to do so. And one of the main signs of a false prophet is, like I said, oftentimes they'll tell you not to judge them. Don't listen to that. You are commanded. The Bible says, discern the spirits. Discern if it's the spirit of God or not. You have to be able to do that.
With so many different forms of media dominating our current culture, it's easy to get sucked into false teachings. Whether it's self-help, motivation, or academia, we're always being told what we have to do to have the life we want. As Christians, we need to look at what's going on inwardly with those who teach God's Word. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark explains that there will always be great speakers and pastors teaching the Bible. You need to discern whether or not they are truly of God. It doesn't matter whether or not they're an incredible speaker, dress well, or make you laugh. Discern through God's wisdom and ask the hard questions. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
All right, guys, if you have your Bibles, let's open them up to Matthew chapter 7 as we look today at false prophets and firm foundations. Now, as we get into this passage today in chapter 7, Jesus is going to be talking about one of the biggest problems of the church throughout the ages, and it still is a big problem today, and that is false prophets. And why is that a big problem? Because, again, even as God sends his people out, the enemy sends his out as well. And while God is fighting for the things of the kingdom, Satan is fighting for the things away from the kingdom and to veer us off course and to get us to where even the believers aren't serving God like we should, but that others can't come to the Lord. A false prophet is a very effective way to do that. And why is that? Because false prophets wear camouflage to look like they're the real thing. And because of that, many people unwittingly follow them and get deceived. And they do great damage to the body of Christ. And unfortunately, we as Christians are often the easiest to deceive because we walk in love and we want to believe the best in people. But the reality is there are many deceivers out there who are trying to deceive us and take advantage of our open heart and the fact that we are more willing to believe people and receive them. You see, it's the goodness of the heart of the Christian that the false prophet takes advantage of. That is, they grab us and they pull us their direction, and we want to believe them. We want to think this is a true brother. But you know what? We have to be able to discern whether or not this is a true brother or sister or not if we're going to be protected and make the proper evaluation. Again, we're going to see Jesus, because of this, warn us as his followers, there is a place for biblical judgment with the emphasis on biblical. And that'll come in again today as we talk about false prophets. Again, because there's no way to evaluate without the Bible, and there's no way without some level of judgment to know who you're dealing with. And so because of how dangerous they are and the damage they do, we need to understand that. And Jesus, again, was telling his disciples, which we are, how to understand it and how to recognize them. Now, we'll see today several fruits that the Lord will give us. He's going to talk about the way that we know them is by their fruit, and that is by the evidence of who they are and what they do. I mean, if something says it's a grapevine, you should find grapes on it. You shouldn't find thorns on it. If something says, you know, it's a kiwi plant, there should be some kiwi on it. You get my point. And the Lord's going to use that analogy. So we have to learn to discern and to see what it is that is actually on the plant to know whether it's of the Lord or whether it's not. Remember, we're right in the middle of toward the end, of the Sermon on the Mount. And the Lord's been spending probably 20, 25 minutes teaching them, maybe longer. We don't know. If you read through it, it doesn't take that long to read through. How long his cadence was and what he did, we don't know. But again, he gave really an eternity's worth of teaching in these few chapters. And so the Holy Spirit over the centuries has revealed them to the church. He's revealing more of it to us today. And as we get toward the end of it today, we're going to be looking, as I said, he just finished talking about the narrow way, the narrow gate, and the broad gate that leads to destruction, and the fact that we need to be able to discern. And he was going to use that discernment or that judgment to move right into his next topic, which is false prophets. And so let's jump right in. Notice what the Lord said. He said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits." Now, we already talked about that. I'm going to give you several fruits as we go through this that you can either jot down or just put into your brain, and you're going to recognize some of them as we go through them as to what these false prophets do and how you can identify them. But note this, right off the bat, the Lord says, beware. And it's interesting, the word beware is the word prosecco, and what it literally means is to devote thought and effort to. Get his point. You need to devote thought and effort to everything you're hearing people teach and say. That is, take the teaching of the word seriously and examine what's being said. Listen, it's so dangerous just to believe what your pastor says or believe what any pastor says. I won't say so dangerous if the pastor's already proven. But again, if we just blindly believe anybody that's reading from the Bible or supposedly telling us what the Bible says without some type of devotion to thought and effort to see if it's really in the word of God, we're going to be deceived. There is nothing wrong in examining the spirits to see if they be of God. There's nothing wrong in saying, where is that found in the word of God? And that is what we have to do to know the true from the false. And he says, beware of them. Take this seriously. Don't just, you know, believe everything you see on TV or everything you hear on the radio or whatever the case might be. And might I add, especially in the last days. Because Jesus said in Matthew 24, there's going to be many false prophets that are going to rise up. Now, they've always been here. But they're going to be rising up more and more. They're going to be heaping up false prophets, the Bible says, because people want to hear what they want to hear and they don't want to hear the word of God. And so our propensity is to listen to anyone that says they're a Christian or a pastor, and so without any scrutiny. So because of that, the Lord says, beware. This is a big warning. Beware is a big word in this one. Again, when Paul was traveling, again, he was going from place to place and doing his ministry, and Paul recognized there's a lot of false teachers out there. They're all around me. And so I've got to make sure that we know the difference between the false and the true. And Paul here gives a distinction between those in two different towns that he was visiting and the way that they dealt with it. This is a great directive for us when it comes to understanding how to recognize the false from the true or else be on our toes to notice it. In Acts 17, verses 10 and 11, Paul again is talking about on their journeys. Rather, Luke is as he's writing about Paul's journeys. And notice what he says. He says, "Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea." Now, oftentimes they were leaving at different times, depending on persecution or what was happening. And so they send them away by night to the Bereans. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now, here was Paul's normal pattern. Paul would go on Saturday to the Jews. He would go on Sunday to the Gentiles because the church was worshiping on Sunday because that's when the Lord rose from the dead. And then he would spend the rest of the week just ministering out in the streets oftentimes. And that apparently is what he was doing here, because in a moment we're going to see that day by day, they were seeing what Paul said. So Paul had this pattern of going in and having regular teaching going. First, he goes into the Jews. Then verse 11, "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica in that," note this, and I have that in large letters and bolded in my notes, "in that they received the word with all readiness, and they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so." Listen to what it says they did. First of all, Luke writes here, hey, we went to Thessalonica and they just believed everything Paul said. And you might be saying, well, that's a good thing because Paul was a man of God. Paul was a man of God, and that was very good. They were believing everything that Paul said. But what if Paul had been a false prophet? See, herein lies the problem. And what they recognized was, I'm glad that it was Paul in Thessalonica and not a false prophet, because they believed everything I said. However, the Bereans were different. When we went to Berea, man, they didn't just believe everything that Paul said. They went back. Notice what it says. First of all, they received the word with all readiness. That is, I want to hear what you have to say. Open the Bible. Tell me what the word of God says. That's a good thing, always. But then number two, this is where the key comes in for the false prophet, or to know the difference. And they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. That is, every time Paul would preach, they would go back and pull out the scriptures to see if it was really there. And Paul says, because of that, they were more noble-minded, or they were more scrutinizing, is what it means there. And that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong in that. Listen, if you're checking my homework, good for you. You should be checking my homework. Because a lot of people don't check the pastor's homework, and they're being led down a wrong path. There's anybody that's truly a true servant of the Lord is not going to be offended or mad that you said, hey, where is that in the Bible? Where did you find that? Where are you teaching that from? Whereas a false prophet will get upset. A false prophet will say, don't question the man of God. Who do you think you are to touch God's anointed? It's like, I always say the same thing in my brain. I've never said it to one of them, but that is, if you were the anointed of God, I wouldn't touch you. But you're obviously not, because this is not found in the Bible, right? But they do that to intimidate. They do that to back you down. They do that to scare you. Nobody wants to go against a man of God or a woman of God. We all would be intimidated by that, right? And yet, what he's saying is, you need to make sure they really are. You need to scrutinize. And so, notice he goes on and reveals how you're going to know them. Here's another way you'll know them. He says, they present themselves as in sheep's clothing. First of all, sheep's clothing. Now, again, that's what you would expect, right? I mean, they're going to look like a sheep. They're going to look like one of us. That's the whole point. I get this picture of somebody wearing the sheep outfit, right? And they got the little black nose and all the things on their cheek or whatever. Of course, you can't help but have the picture of a little kid in your mind when you think that way. But think of an adult that way, and you go, wow, that's interesting. That's really, it looks like a sheep. But as you get closer, you think, wow, what a big nose you have, Pastor, and what big teeth you have, right? Again, a little Red Riding Hood going on here. And you begin to realize, wait a minute, are you really a sheep, or are you something else underneath that outfit? And what the Lord is getting at, look beyond the outfit. Look beyond the Sunday morning presentation. Look beyond the radio show. Look beyond the TV show. You need to be evaluating, is this truly a person of God or not? And are they leading me the right direction? Because it's what's inward that matters and not what is outward that matters. Something that needs to be examined. And by the way, you're not wrongfully judging to do that. You're commanded to do so. And one of the main signs of a false prophet is, like I said, oftentimes they'll tell you not to judge them. Don't listen to that. You are commanded. The Bible says, discern the spirits. Discern if it's the spirit of God or not. You have to be able to do that. Now, so they present themselves as sheep. They look like one of us, right? They oftentimes will rebuff you if you challenge them. They're not open to let you, you know, address them and see if there's any correction they might need, because they're intimidated, because they're trying to intimidate you, because they don't want you to find out they're fake. They don't want you to pull back their little lamb's outfit or whatever the case might be. But the next thing he says about them, he says, notice inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Now, this is interesting, because we all know the picture of a wolf. We all picture that in our mind. But here's the next thing that he reveals in the language about what a false prophet is going to be like. The word ravenous is the word harpagus, and literally means a robber or a swindler. What he's saying is, they're going to present themselves as people of God looking like sheep, but very quickly they're going to get to your wallet. They're going to be going after your money, and they're going to do it on a regular basis because they are ravenous. Their mansions aren't big enough. Their cars aren't fancy enough. They don't have enough jets, or maybe they don't even have a jet yet. And to show that they truly are a man of God, they've got to prove it by getting it from you. They've come to take. They've come to eat what you have and to pull it away from you. They're ravenous wolves. Here's the thing. They're going to want your money. That's just a bottom line across the board. Jesus said, recognize them. Now, this is not the same as encouraging the body of Christ to be faithful financially. Be faithful financially. You know what to do. You're big boys and girls. You know what the Bible says. That's why we leave that up to you. But if you've got somebody showing up each week saying, oh, we didn't give enough last weekend. Boy, we need to do this and we need to do that. And you need to be giving more. And if you really want your, you know, your pocketbook to grow, which they tend to appeal to the flesh. You want your pocketbook to grow, then give to my pocketbook. And then when you give to me, you're going to get back tenfold and hundredfold. And they use a true giving spiritual principle to their covetous advantage. And so he warns us about that. Peter talks about it as well. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, he says, by covetousness, they will exploit you. With deceptive words, for a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. So they're always going to come to the money, and the bottom line is they're going to be asking for it a big part of the time. I just encourage you, look, I stay away from Christian TV for the most part. Are there some real people on Christian TV that know the Lord? Yes. Are there some real ministries out there? Yes. Radio, it's everywhere. God's got his people everywhere. But what we have to discern is the enemy's got his people everywhere as well. And we feel this thing going, well, I can't judge. Well, I can't this. Look, if I see somebody that each week is simply prancing around, getting all the glory to themselves and asking me for money each week, I've got a pretty good idea who I'm dealing with. And I'm going to stay away from them. and you need to do the same. And God's going to deal with them. We're going to see the Lord's going to hit this really hard here in just a moment. But next he goes on about how we identify them. Notice he says, you'll know them by their fruits. We already talked about it. They look like sheep, but the reality is they're ravenous wolves. They're trying to get to your pocketbook. He says, do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? In other words, whatever the plant is, you should be getting what it says it is from it. And if you're not getting what it says it is from it, it's not what it says it is. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Now, the Lord is saying that he's not saying that somebody that's bad can't occasionally do something good. And he's not saying people that are good can't occasionally do something bad. That's not his point. He's saying, in general, you're going to see the fruit of their life. You should be able to examine it. It goes beyond simply what's happening. And the idea is, what are they like outside of the pulpit? You know, how am I living my life away from the church? How am I living my life with my family? How am I living my life? It doesn't mean I'm perfect. It doesn't mean you're perfect. But the overall fruit should be godly fruit. It should be living for the Lord. And if you see these guys and you see their life apart from their TV show, apart from their radio show, if you see them in whatever light they're in and you see all these warning signs, don't be blind to that. Again, they'll always say, well, we're being attacked because we're godly. Well, maybe they are, and you need to examine that. But sometimes they're being attacked because they're ungodly and God's exposing them. And so we have to use the discernment to know that. And he says, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, you will know them by their fruits. Now, that's the bottom line. He ends there in verse 20. That's how you're going to know them. Look at the fruit. The fruit will tell you what they are. But notice before that, he says, every tree that doesn't bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Every tree, not just some. It's the same judgment they're going to face as we see in John 15, where the vines are cut off and thrown into the fire. And from what we're about to see in the next few verses concerning the eternal state of these prophets, this is not a pruning process. This is an eternal judgment that God is talking about. He says there's either going to be good fruit, there's going to be bad fruit, as we look at their lives and they have to match up with their words. They're making Christianity look foolish rather than reasonable. And this is the next thing that leads us into the next section. We're about to take a detour, but before we do, let me say this. Another major signifier, and we see this, I'm going to give you a couple of examples in Scripture. Another major signifier of a false prophet is they make the real thing look foolish. Now, I believe in the gifts. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in healing. But when you make the gifts and the Holy Spirit and healing look foolish, that's not of God. God is a very reasonable God. The Bible says, let all things be done decently and in order. There's two sides to that verse. Let all things be done. Sometimes we leave that out, don't we? If you come from the decently and in order side, you leave the first part of the verse out. If you're not really so much about decently and in order, you've emphasized the first part of the verse. Let everything be done. But the reality is there's a balance here. Let everything be done decently and in order. And when you come to that place, you have a proper balance. The problem is if you can make Christianity look foolish, then the thinking person will stay away. And Satan knows that. Let me give you an example. Paul is traveling around on all of his journeys, and you remember the story. It says a demon-possessed woman joined with them. She was filled with a demon of divination, the Bible tells us. And so she's following them around, and she's going, these are the servants of the Most High God. These are the servants of the Most High God. These are the servants. You get the point, right? And so Paul got the point too, because this went on for days and days, it says. And Paul with this woman, by the way, was what she was saying accurate? Yeah. Can false prophets say things that are accurate? Yes. The problem is sometimes they make it look so foolish, who's going to listen to them? So she's going, these are the servants. It says Paul, after many days, became greatly annoyed. I love that. Huh, this woman's driving me crazy. And he turns to her and says, come out of her, right? And I've wanted to say that to some people in the past. Come out of her. Anyway, but it really is a demon. The demons come out and she's free. And of course, they're mad at Paul because he's released her and they can't make money off her divination anymore. But the point is to realize this, yes, false prophets will say oftentimes only 5% falsehood or 10% falsehood and to get you to believe them so they can lead you off the path. But they also will oftentimes say things that are very accurate, but they make it look so foolish. Who wants to be a part of it? You know, and they know that. Satan knows that. I want to give you another example. I want you to turn back in your Bible to 2 Chronicles, the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter 18. And I know I'm taking you off course a little bit, but this is so important to see. And then we'll come back to Matthew 7, because this is one of the best pictures of seeing false prophets in their foolishness, which I think oftentimes reminds me of what I see on a lot of Christian TV today, that it gives you a picture of the way they try to make, how the demonic realm tries to make the truth look foolish. What is the setting? Israel has split into two divisions. You have the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Jehoshaphat is a godly king down in the southern kingdom. Ahab is an ungodly king up in the northern kingdom. And yet, so that they don't fight and get along, they've decided to marry their families together, okay? That was very common in that day. You would marry the king's daughter, king's son, whatever, from kingdoms. And then we're not going to fight each other because, again, we're friends and we have family in both of these kingdoms. So this is the setting here. Jehoshaphat married into Ahab's family. Someone in his family did. And now he's going to go visit this wicked king Ahab. And there's a battle coming up. So he wants Jehoshaphat to go with him. And we'll see the dilemma that Jehoshaphat finds himself in because of wrong alliances. Look at chapter 18, verse 1. It said, Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance. And by marriage, he allied himself with Ahab. And after some years, he went down to visit Ahab in Samaria, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen in abundance for him and the people who were with him, and persuaded him to go up with them to Ramoth-Gilead. So Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, will you go up with me against Ramoth-Gilead? Hey, while I've got you here, will you go to battle with me? No doubt this was a trick. He was trying to pull Jehoshaphat in, probably inviting him up there for this very purpose, because he knew that he would be allied and committed by marriage. And he answered and said, I am as you are, and my people as your people. We will be with you in the war. Also, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, well, please inquire for the word of the Lord today. In other words, okay, this is kind of a surprise. I'll go to battle with you, but you know what we need to do, Ahab? Let's seek God on this. We really need God's counsel, God's direction. I'll go to battle with you, but I'd like to hear from the Lord to make sure we're on the right path. And watch what, again, Ahab does. So then the king of Israel gathered the prophets, that is the prophets up there up north, 400 men who said to them, and he said to them, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead or shall I refrain? Now here's some background for those prophets. Because the nation had divided and the northern kingdom was wicked and the southern kingdom was righteous, all the real prophets, or most of the real prophets from up north, had moved down to the south. You had very little godly men and women up north. And so now these 400 prophets we're about to see, they're all false prophets. Every one of them, they're the ones that said, we don't care about the word of God. We don't care about Jerusalem. We don't care about the temple. We're staying up here, whereas the godly ones had fled. But God had left at least one representative at this time in this region, a prophet by the name of Micaiah. And God no doubt left him there so he could be a witness for the kingdom. Micaiah probably hated being there because he's surrounded by all these guys that are false prophets. But he stayed there and faithfully did what God called him to do. And so he says, I'm going to call all my false prophets in. No doubt Jehoshaphat could recognize these guys were, you know, bozos. You'll see why here in just a moment. But he calls them all before him. And they say to him, go up, for God will deliver it into the king's hand. Now, it's very obvious that Jehoshaphat recognized something's wrong here. He was using discernment. He had his spiritual glasses on. He said, okay, these guys, there are 400 of them. They're all telling us to go to battle, but I don't sense God's spirit here. There's something drastically wrong. And he's using the kind of discernment Jesus is encouraging us to use today. He's saying, what's the deal here? And so he goes back to Ahab, and Jehoshaphat says there in verse 6, is there not still a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of him?
Well, our time at the table of God's word has come to a close for today, but seize this moment to draw closer to Jesus right now. Will you come and sit at the teacher's feet with us? You know, Matthew was close to Jesus. He actually walked with him, talked with him, ate with him, and traveled with him. And in this verse-by-verse series through the Gospel of Matthew, Pastor Mark is taking us up close and personal with Jesus and the disciples who followed him. And together, we'll see Jesus tell stories, perform miracles, astound the people, and frustrate the religious leaders. We'll witness Jesus dying on the cross, experience the despair and fear the disciples felt that day too. And then we'll see him rise triumphantly from the grave. To listen again or share with a friend today's message, along with many others, can be found at thewaymedia.net. Once again, that's thewaymedia.net. Once you're there, you simply need to click on the Come to the Table tab. Listen, we'd love to pray for you or answer any questions you may have. So reach out to us through the questions and comments link, or call us at 865-609-1385. That's 865-609-1385. Please don't hesitate to reach out and make sure you're staying grounded in God's Word by reading the Bible every day. Allow Jesus to grow you as you draw close to Him daily and be willing to go where He's guiding you. Pastor Mark has prepared our next verse-by-verse review of the book of Matthew. So put your bookmark there and make sure to join us here the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.